tonight's reading is taken from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And I'm reading from 2 Kings, chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. In the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, Jehoram, son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria. He reigned for 12 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, though not like his father and mother, for he removed the pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sin of Jehoboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit. He did not depart from it. Now King Meshach of Moab was a sheep breeder who used to deliver to the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and wool of 100,000 rams. But when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram marched out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. As he went, he sent word to King Jehoshaphat of Judah, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to battle against Moab? He answered, "I will. I am with you. My people are your people. My horses are your horses." Then he asked, "By which way shall we march?" Jehoram answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom set out. And when they had made a roundabout march of 7 days, there was no water for the army or for the animals that were with them. Then the king of Israel said, "Alas, the Lord has summoned us, 3 kings, only to be handed over to Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord?" Then one of the servants of the king of Israel answered, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah, is here." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to your father's prophet or to your mother's." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, it is the Lord who has summoned us, 3 kings, only to be handed over to Moab." Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, whom I serve, were it not that I have regard for King Jehoshaphat of Judah, I would give you neither a look nor a glance. But get me a musician." And then while the musician was playing, the power of the Lord came on him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, I will make this wadi full of pools. For thus saith the Lord, you shall see neither wind nor rain, but the wadi shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, you, your cattle, and your animals. This is only a trifle thing in the sight of the Lord, for he will also hand Moab over to you. You shall conquer every fortified city and every choice city. Every good tree you shall fell, all springs of water you shall stop up, and every good piece of land you shall ruin with stones." The next day, about the time of the morning offering, suddenly water began to flow from the direction of Edom until the country was filled with water. The second reading is from Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 8. "Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Burst into song and shout, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate woman will be more than the children of her that is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the site of your tent, and let the curtain of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess the nations and will settle the desolate towns. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Do not be discouraged, for you will not suffer disgrace. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the disgrace of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, like the wife of a man's youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing wrath for a moment, I hid my face from you. But with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
Amen. Thank you, Vinice. Two interesting and powerful readings that I want to reflect on with you for a few moments tonight. This morning in our 11 a.m. service and our 9 a.m. service, I explained that for the first time in my ministry, I'm taking a single theme across all of our services in a month. So both our morning and our evening services and our afternoon have the theme of advance, a word that I believe the Lord has given me for our church and for myself, taken from Psalm 18, verse 29, where in celebrating his victory, King David says, "With my God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can leap over a high wall." And I have a sense that God is asking us to prepare for a year in 2025 in which we advance into his purposes as individuals, as families, as churches and congregations, and as one network, the KTLCC network. What would it look like for you tonight to advance in God's purposes? Where are the areas that you know that he may be calling you to step out? Maybe you're gathering with us here this evening, and you're not even yet a follower of Jesus. You're here exploring faith. Maybe a friend has invited you, or somebody that you know, or you've heard about our fellowship, and you're coming and inquiring online or here. Perhaps God has brought you here to advance you into his family, to bring you into relationship with him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight I want to talk to you about digging a ditch. The verses that Vinice, one of our cell family leaders, read to you, taken from 2 Kings chapter 3, tell of a story in Israel's history when they were facing opposition and difficulty. The people of Moab and the people of Edom are part of that story. Back at the beginning of the story of Israel through Abraham, Abraham had a nephew called Lot. And Lot escaped from a city called Sodom, and afterwards his daughters slept with him and conceived. And the two boys that were born were Moab and Ammon. And they became antagonistic enemies of Israel. So by the time you get to the story that we are in now, many hundreds of years later, that animosity and resentment continues to exist. And one of the kings of Israel, or the northern kingdoms of Israel, Jehoram, was an evil and a poor king, whereas the king of the southern kingdom, Jehoshaphat, mentioned in the story, was a good king. And Jehoram and Jehoshaphat face a battle with the king of Moab. And we are told in the story that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram combine forces. Jehoram asks for Jehoshaphat's help. And Jehoshaphat says, as you heard read, "I will help you. My horses will be your horses. My forces are your forces. We will fight together." But then he asks this question. He says, is there a prophet in Israel that can tell us what God's will and purpose is? Is there someone that we can consult? And the response comes back that there is one, a man called Elisha, who's being a servant to an older prophet called Elijah. So they go and they see Elisha. And Elisha says to Jehoram, this is the Northern Ireland version of the story. If you had come on your own, I'd have said no. But because you've come with Jehoshaphat, I will do something. Bring me a musician. And as the music is played and the worship is offered, the Lord gives Elisha instruction. And he says, in the words that you've heard, God says, I am going to fill the valley where you will fight with wadis, with pools or ditches. If you think of a ditch, don't think of a small hole. Think of a storm drain that you would get on the side of a country road. God says, I am going to fill this valley with water. I want to read you the same story from a paraphrased version of the Bible called The Message, verses 16 to 23 of that story that you've heard read from the NRSV. God's word, dig ditches all over this valley. Here's what will happen. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain. But this valley is going to fill up with water. And your army and your animals will drink their fill. This is easy for God to do. He will also hand over Moab to you. You will ravage the country, knock out its fortifications, level the key villages, clear cut the orchards, clog the springs, and litter the cultivated fields with stones. In the morning, it was the hour of morning sacrifice. The water had arrived, pouring in from the west, from Edom, a flash flood filling the valley with water. And by this time, everyone in Moab had heard that the kings had come up to make war against them. Everyone who was able to handle a sword was called into service and took a stand at the border. They were up and ready early in the morning when the sun rose over the water. And from where the Moabites stood, the water reflecting the sun looked red, like blood. Blood! Look at the blood, they said. The kings must have fought each other. A bloody massacre. It's a remarkable story. And it's a story in which God miraculously provides for his people, but they have a part to play. They're facing difficulty and uncertainty and challenge. And God says, dig a ditch. And I will fill it. They dug not knowing where the water would come from. They dug not knowing when the water would come. They dug because God had told them to dig. And as they dug this ditch, they had to trust in faith that God was going to somehow come and meet with them and provide for them and deliver them and protect them. Sometimes God asks you to do something which doesn't make sense. Sometimes he says to you, do you want me to move? Then dig a ditch. Where in your life tonight do you need to dig a ditch? Maybe you're asking God for a breakthrough. Maybe you've been asking him for a breakthrough for many years and you've done nothing about it. Is it possible that God tonight is saying, dig a ditch? Is he asking you to do something which doesn't make sense to you? I think he's asking some people to do that. And that he will honor his commitment to you. In this story, miraculously, water pours in and there is a flash flood that sweeps across the valley and fills the pools with water. The animals are able to drink that have been described as thirsting and needing something. But much more than that happens, because the following morning, as the Moabites rise to look across the valley, the water shimmers in the light of the sun and it looks like blood, and they panic. God comes and delivers his people in a miraculous and inexpressible way, yet he asks them to dig a ditch. How strange that is. He could have done that for them. But then when you read the story of a man called Lazarus in the New Testament, who dies, it's recorded in John chapter 11, and is brought back to life by the Lord Jesus Christ. At the very end of the story, there's an interesting thing happens. Lazarus is resurrected. He is dead and then alive. He is lifted up steps that are 3 times steeper than these, if you ever went to see where the tomb actually is. God, in the form of Jesus, miraculously brings this man to life and brings him out of a tomb. He's bound in ointments and bandages that could have been as heavy as 100 or 200 pounds in weight. Yet Jesus turns to those that are witnessing the resurrection and he says, "Unbind him and let him go." Why didn't Jesus do that? I mean, he's resurrected him. He's brought him back to life. Why didn't he do the unbinding? Because sometimes God asks us to do our part in his purposes and in his plans. I am convinced that tonight God is asking people here to dig a ditch. And I'm convinced that he's asking KT, LCC, to dig a ditch, to prepare for what God wants to do. You see, God's provision will meet our need. God's intervention will supply what is required for us, but sometimes he asks us to do something. Maybe that is preparing a space at our table. Maybe that is applying for the job. Maybe that is saving for a deposit. Maybe that is setting money aside for his kingdom purposes. Maybe that is asking for prayer. Maybe that is acknowledging our need of him. Maybe that is saying, "Lord, I can't do this without you." Maybe it's making a commitment to him, writing a prayer to him, offering him the home that you have, offering him the car that you drive, offering him the career that you long for, and saying, "Lord, this is my ditch. I will give it to you." If you give to God what he is asking you tonight, you will witness his provision, his grace, and his intervention. King David, as an old man, wrote a psalm and he said this, "I have been young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread." Where might you dig a ditch tonight? Maybe it's getting involved in a ministry. Maybe it's offering to help at work. Maybe it's befriending a neighbor. Maybe it's giving an hour of your time to read in the local school. Maybe it's going out of your way to befriend the person in work that you're finding difficult. Maybe it's saying to someone that you have a difficult relationship with, "We got to talk." Maybe it's acknowledging your need of God's help or God's grace. But I'm encouraging you tonight to dig a ditch, to come before God with expectation and to ask him to come by his Spirit and provide for you, to meet you, to fill you, to touch you, to flow into you, and then to flow through you. In the New Testament, when Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 5, verse 18, he says this to them, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you want a new anointing. But sister or brother, why would God anoint you with a new anointing if you're not using the one he's already given you? You're saying, "Lord, we need a bigger this or we need a better that." And God says back, "But you're not using what I've already given you. Use what I've given you. Dig a ditch." Come to me and tell me that you need me, but let me use you where you are. You see, God always provides for those who come to him in faith. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, for the first time in the Bible, God is described as the God who is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. And in that story, we get to that moment because God has said to a man called Abraham, give me your son. And Abraham's much-loved son, Isaac, goes with him to a mountaintop where he is about to be offered as a sacrifice. And God says, don't harm the boy. And they see a ram caught in a bush to the side. And God becomes known as the one who provides. Abraham was willing to offer what he had. You might look at me and say, how could God use my little ditch? How could God use my little skills? How could God use my little contribution? I don't have much to give him. I don't have much to offer. I can't dig very deeply. He couldn't really make a big difference with what I've got. Let me tell you, as a 16-year-old boy, on the night that I was converted, I've told you this before, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, as I became a Christian, I don't have very much. I am not worth very much. I don't have a very high opinion of myself. I'm not sure you could do anything with a life like this, but you can have it. And you can do what you want with it. I offered my life to God as a ditch. And he has been faithful. Maybe that's what he's asking you to do tonight. Maybe he's saying, no more excuses, no more reasons, no more explanations. Just give me your life. Give me your heart, and you watch what I can do in 2025 with you. Maybe you think, it'll be too hard for God to use me. He doesn't know my need. He doesn't know what I'm facing. He doesn't know what I've got to go through. He doesn't know the challenges that I have. He doesn't understand. Malcolm, it's okay for you to say that standing on the stage, but you've no idea what my life looks like. This was a miraculous intervention by God in this story. And in verse 18, we hear this wonderful little phrase about filling these ditches and routing the Moabites. This is but a trifle for the Lord. This remarkable intervention that sets these people free, which was hard and difficult and inexplicable, isn't too hard for him. Maybe you're waiting on a breakthrough in your life and you're saying, Lord, could you come and meet me, or is this too big? Nothing's too big. Nothing's too big. The kingdom of God advances when ordinary women and men like you and me make a decision to lay our lives before him and say, do something with them. When we give him our time, when we dig a ditch with our lives, it is remarkable what he can do. From Genesis 18, 14, all the way through to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we are promised that God comes and meets his people when we come before him. God is able to do far more than you could imagine or think. But tonight he's inviting you to posture yourself in a position of openness, readiness. Maybe you're part of a church that needs a new building and you're waiting on God providing for it, but you haven't looked at one. You haven't worked out what your finances might be. Maybe you're trying to move house, but you haven't done anything about it. Dig a ditch. Dig a ditch. Maybe you're trying to start a ministry and you're trying to work out how to fund it. Dig a ditch. Start to see it. Share it with your friends. Tell one or two people that know your heart and you can trust and see what they do. Maybe you're wanting to get involved in an area of ministry and you feel called to be a leader, but you're not willing to serve. Start serving. Dig a ditch. And watch what God will do with that. The victory that these people received was complete. Actually, the description of it in verse 19 is very graphic. They rout cities, they block wells, they put rocks into fields so that the Moabites and those that follow cannot undo the victory that they have been given by God. But if you're willing to dig that ditch tonight, then be ready for the unexpected. In verse 20 of the story, we read, "The next day, about the time of the morning offering, suddenly water began to flow from the direction of Edom until the country was filled with water." He did more than they could even begin to understand. But the God that I serve has a habit of doing things that are unexpected. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, he says to his people, Israel, "The Lord whom you seek will unexpectedly visit his temple. He will come in a way that you do not expect, that you cannot plan for. When a young woman called Mary was getting married to an older man called Joseph, the Lord unexpectedly visited her. On the day of Pentecost, when 120 new believers were gathered in Jerusalem trying to work things out, God opened heaven and he filled them. They dug a ditch and he came unexpectedly and he met them when Paul and Silas, two followers of Jesus, were imprisoned. They dug a ditch. How did they dig a ditch? They started to pray and praise God. They started to lift their voices to him. And when they dug the ditch, the Lord opened the prison doors and they walked right out." In fact, they didn't walk out, they stayed, but they could have. And when Jesus Christ returns, it will be sudden. And it will be unexpected. Be ready. And I think this is a word from the Lord. Be ready for the unexpected of God in 2025. Be ready for the unplanned thing. Be ready to respond to him on a dime. Travel light through this year. Travel with your heart set on the kingdom of God. Be ready to move when he says move. Be ready to jump when he says jump. Be ready to lay everything down and start again when he says it. Maybe you feel as if your little ditch can not make much of a difference. But again and again, we see in Scripture not only a God who comes unexpectedly, and his unexpecteds are always very well planned. Maybe you need to remember that God has made some promises or inquiries or asked some questions in Scripture which are amazing. In Psalm 2, verses 2 to 7, he says, "Ask of me, and I will give you" what? "The nations." See, I think maybe many of us, when you hear me talking about digging a ditch, you might be thinking about your own life. What about this house? What ditches will we dig, KTLCC? I want to dig a ditch that says, "Give us the nations, Lord. Give us the nations, Lord. Come by your power. And let KTLCC, let this building be a glorified ditch. And fill it with your power. And flow out of it into the streets of London. And flow through the streets of London into the streets of the world. Flow through every congregation. Flow through every network church. Flow through every space that we occupy on planet Earth. Take every single home. Take every single car. Take every single bank balance. Take every single position. And let them be ditches for your kingdom." I'm asking you tonight, if you're part of our church family, will you let your life be a ditch? What could God do? In 2 Kings chapter 4, we are reminded that Elisha had met a woman who had nothing. She had nothing. Her and her son were about to die. They were poor. Their house was empty. They had nothing. They had got some sticks. They had baked a cake. And they were going to die. And the prophet said to her, "Bring me a jar." In fact, he said, "Bring me as many as you can find." And she gathered all the jars that she could find. And the Lord filled every one of them. Every single one. Do you know when he stopped filling them? When she stopped giving them to him. What jars do you need to give to the Lord? Dreams, longings, yearnings, callings, burdens, weights. I am convinced that whatever we give to God in this season, he will fill. But he asks us to bring the jar. He asks us to dig the ditch. He asks us to offer him what we think is inconsequential, and he uses it for his glory. In Exodus chapter 4, when God was calling Moses, Moses said, I can't go. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't speak. I don't have the right gifts. And God cuts across it all and he says, Moses, give me what you have in your hand. And all that Moses had was a stick. And that stick became the symbol of God's authority in Israel. It was carried by him as he led the people of God out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And he stood on the edge of it as Joshua brought them into the promised land. What have you got in your hand? What is it that you hold that you could give to God? What ditch could you lay before him tonight? How could you give him these small things that seem so inconsequential to you? But bring him something. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 to 17 reminds us of the instructions around the Feast of Tabernacles, a Jewish festival. And God says, never come into my presence empty-handed. You think, I have nothing. You have something. You have something. Whatever that something is, give it to him. Lay it before him tonight. But what of the second reading that I had read, Isaiah 54? Why did I include that? Because in that passage, God promises a smaller Israel. He promises an Israel that is still trying to work out what comes next, that he will bring them into a spacious place. It struck me as I was preparing for tonight that in so many ways, this is a beautiful scripture, and it's hard for me to say this as a man, but I trust that you will understand it. Not so much as a man, but as a man who has children. When you read this story, you read that God says, sing, O barren one who did not bear. Burst into song and shout, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate woman will be more than the children of her that is married, says the Lord. And this is primarily a promise to Israel that they will flourish and grow and will bear offspring for God's glory and God's honor. But I also think that it's a reminder to those of you that perhaps feel barren inside, feel barren of children, or feel barren of hopes, or feel barren of dreams, or feel as if you're never going to be that person who is fruitful and part of a family, or as a man or a woman. I think God would remind you that many of you have borne more children spiritually, have given more life to more people than you could ever imagine. You are mothers and fathers in the kingdom of God. And he has more to give you. He has more to pour into you. Perhaps not in the way that you first imagined. But he promises that if we enlarge the site of our tent and we let the curtains of our habitations be stretched out, if we do not hold back and we lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes, then he will enable us to spread out to the right and to the left. Dig a ditch. Tonight, as you sit in God's presence here or online, I want to remind you of one who offered their lives as a ditch. And as they stretched out upon a cross, they said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And because he offered his life, because Jesus offered his life, those of us that are Christians tonight are sitting here in love with him. His offering becomes your opportunity for grace. I wonder how many people across 2025 could be brought into the kingdom by a decision that you make right now. How many visions could be birthed or hatched, or dreams or possibilities could be released by you coming to God and saying, take me. Use my life. Use my ditch for your glory. But I can't do it for you. I can't make you. I can't force you. I can't coerce you to offer your life to God or to offer those things that He's laid on your heart. But I tell you, if you dig a ditch tonight, if you lay that empty space open before God, then be ready for the adventure of a lifetime. Have the courage to give Him what is in your hand and watch how He advances the kingdom through it. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Thank you. I want you to close your eyes, because what I've shared with you is an important word, and it has so many personal implications for you here and online. Take time to think about what ditch God might be asking you to dig.